Whenever you... Oh, here we go. I started recording. It's actually recording now, which it wasn't before. You know it's going to be Andrew, don't you? Just as soon as I get all the crap at this end sorted out, Andrew f***s off somewhere.
Of course.
He did sort of make gestures about cutting his throat for some reason. I don't know what that was all about.
He probably didn't remember you're going to lose audio.
He just went to the kitchen.
He's restarted Skype because he thinks it's him. Back again. With no audio. No, you can't lean into the microphone and shout when it's not working at all, mate. That's... No, you can't. It's just not working at all. You can't lean closer to the microphone when there's nothing.
Yes, I bloody can.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so your audio has got worse then.
How are things on the moon there, Andrew?
Every time you speak, you have to go at the end of it. Roger Houston.
Are you vacuuming?
All this money, you couldn't get a better microphone.
Oh, the after show has started before the show has begun.
Sounds like he's in a microphone. No, in a helicopter rather. No, he sounds like he's in a helicopter in a tumble dryer.
Oh dear. We got you on the scope, Andrew, and you're looking good.
Can you actually hear me?
Not quite.
No. You sound like dude.
Don't say that.
Unplug the POS. The POS microphone.
I'm going to pop for a wee. Is that okay?
Yes, obviously.
And there's the show title. Pop for a wee.
Right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Right, I've gone from the microphone that you obviously hate to the completely cheap and cheerful Apple.
It's not about whether I like it or not. Tell the microphone it's not a personal issue. It sounds shit or it doesn't. It's an on-off. It's a digital thing. There you go. See?
I'm taking it. Photo won't start at 3 o'clock.
F*** me, you're perceptive.
I need to bail at 1:30 the next hour.
Have you lost the ability to tell the time?
Yes, 1:30 the next hour. 2:30.
I need to go when the big hand is on the 2 and the little hand is on the 3.
Yes, I do.
Well, you lot can pick the stories today.
What stories?
Exactly.
How to uninstall Flash.
Well, we got
you, and you have to lead us through the.
Thanks, Sherpa ranking. we've got all the refund thing on Final Cut Pro X to talk about. There's patent things which I've got no intention of discussing whatsoever.
Cool.
So chat room, you can pick what we talk about. I can't be arsed.
I did a Mac show a couple of days ago, so there's a couple of nice rumours coming out.
So your ignorance has already been flaunted. You don't want to do it again.
Well, no. Oh, how dare you? Right, okay. It's a good one. Ron Johnson leaving Apple, which I think is pretty significant.
Ron Johnson leaving Apple. He was the He's not the retail guru.
He's Mr. Retail Guru.
Mr. Retail Guru, right?
He's sort of
wasn't
behind
that about 3 weeks ago?
That was last. Were you here last week, Will?
Did we do that one? Did we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did that one.
I didn't like to say.
Oh, God. That's nice.
What about those? Check out those Thunderbolt iMacs.
That's amazing.
I can't believe that.
That's just a rumor, though.
Hey, there's a new Thunderbolt cable that came out this week.
We'll do the Thunderbolt.
Yeah. Let's Google. Can we do the cable?
Yeah. Well, we've done 13 minutes of audio already, so if I just sit and bleep the first 13 minutes periodically, that'll do as a show, I think. No?
Yeah, I want to have a tea and a coffee.
Right, here we go. Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Mac. This show actually started about Tuesday, but we've had a few problems, so it's now Friday and we've come on as normal-ish. So I'm here with the hired help, which is Don McAllister, top left corner. Hello, mate.
Hello,
I don't mean that, obviously.
Just about hear you.
Apart from screwing around with me for the last half hour trying to get this frigging thing to work, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, very well. working hard as usual. I'm not going to be here next week, so I'm sort of on the countdown to going off on a week's holiday. So
Sun
I'm sort of in the not quite demob happy yet. I've got still got another couple of days and some things to sort out before I go, but sort of frantically working to get myself free for the middle of next week.
Jolly good. Mm-hmm. Next in, we've got Carl Swagger, a busy, busy man, returning to the fold for all three shows today.
Really?
Yeah,
I wasn't aware.
Show and you're getting up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. Bad luck, dude.
Yeah, it's all right.
So, good week.
Yeah, it's been a good week. Not quite as busy as last week, which I was kind of happy about. But yeah, good week. Last Friday.
Welcoming back to the panel after his brief absence last week. Oh no, you were here. I forgot. Sorry, mate. I was listening to the show and I didn't realise you were still here. Will Green.
Hello.
Well, you seem to forget everything that goes on during the show, so I just naturally forget that you're there. So
I was. Yeah, I was. Yes, I was. Yeah,
I know you were, mate. Trust me.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Thanks coming to the Bash next week, I hear.
I am. Yes, I'll be there.
So at 1 o'clock, we will be stood on my patio drinking beer and recording a live Mac show.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Brilliant. And finally, but by no means least, Dr. Crappy Mike. Sorry, Dr. Happy Mac. Andrew Stephens. How you doing, mate?
Oh, how they mock. How they mock. Yes.
And you're coming to the Bash next week.
I'm coming to the Bash next week. I'll be standing on your patio. I'll be drinking beer. I'll be recording something.
The beer will be flowing from very early on in the day, but Mac's going out at 1 o'clock as normal. So, and then we've got the photo show at 3, and then we'll have a big break where we'll all get really drunk, and the big show will be at 10 p.m. and may or may not be publishable.
It's amazing, you, and you sound like Liza Minnelli.
Thanks, mate. Weekends, I look like her too. So, the week in Apple. What do you want to talk about, fellas? Because it's been a bit of an up-and-down week. Long silence.
Ooh!
Hey!
It's back!
It's back. I haven't done a damn thing.
It reaches a sort of crescendo, doesn't it? I guess nobody else can hear it, but it starts off distorting.
Really bad.
Gets worse and worse till you can't understand, and then ping, you're clear again.
Right, okay.
Hey, it's ping! Sorry.
Why does Will look like Bono?
Oh, do I?
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Just a tiny bit.
Find some glasses, Will.
I'm trying to think. He's a singer, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a popular beat combo, you too.
Yes. Yes, those young chaps.
You too. Never heard of them.
Popular beat combo and tax avoiders.
Might be as well as be an Irish band for all I care. So, the week in Apple. Do you remember why we're here? No.
Mm-hmm.
The week in Apple. We've had a really friggin' expensive cable, $50 for a Thunderbolt cable, but it's had a teardown, and apparently someone looked inside and went, well, it looks really complicated, so it must be worth it. We've had a load of patent issues as well as they've been issuing refunds here in the UK for Final Cut Pro X, and they've had a bit of a spat with Taiwan over refunding as well for 10 days, but they've capitulated on that where Google haven't, and they're going to get fined $22,000 for it. What do you want to talk about? Nothing?
Let's talk about the cable, because without the cable, Thunderbolt means nothing.
The cable, $50 for a Thunderbolt cable that's going to do all your high-speed data transfer and all that kind of stuff. Before we start the discussion, worth it, not worth it?
It's like HDMI. It's like we need it, but there's got to be a generic place somewhere, please. $49.99, please.
Well, it's a bit monster cable-ish, isn't it?
It is.
Well, it's not a passive cable, though, is it? This is the thing. It's not because of the high throughput of Thunderbolt. They need to there's actually a couple of chips at each end. So there's some electronics and some chips that are actually buried in the cable somewhere. So you know, it still sounds expensive to me, but you really don't know how much these things cost to manufacture and test, and if they're using chips, you know how many they have to chuck out when they manufacture them. So there's lots of factors that go into how they cost it, but it still does sound rather expensive. But I feel happier knowing that there are actually chips in there, and it's not just a piece of solid copper or something that they're charging a humongous amount for. Like Monster, you know, if they do a standard HDMI cable, it's horrendous, and all it is, it's just a bit of metal and a bit of plastic. But this has got some proper electronics in there.
Go ahead, Will.
I was going to say, from a design point of view, surely when you're designing a new sort of not protocol, but you know, style of connection, having cables with chips built in, it's not good, is it? I mean, it's if you're going to take this foot, like it's Cat 5, for instance, anybody can knock together a Cat 5 cable for a few pennies. If they're going to sort of take, and say USB cables too, there's no chips in those, are there? So it seems a bit mad to me to design this sort of interface that half of the technology is in the cable and the other half is in the actual interface itself. It's crazy.
Another point of failure.
Yeah, of course it is. And if it's going to make these cables this sort of price, or maybe take off the, say, 25% Apple tax, it's still very expensive and it just won't be adopted across the media. I mean, USB cables are pennies and Cat 5 cables are pennies and et cetera. So why do it? I go back to my original point that Thunderbolt is doomed.
Wow.
Doomed.
So Steve tends to disagree with you, I would say, at this point. Uncle Steve.
It was just Mr. Jobs.
Mr. Jobs, yeah. So, I mean, the point there is that there's another point of failure, but are we kind of a bit naive as consumers that we see cable as cable and we just expect it to be nothing more than, like you're saying, a bit of copper with some plastic around it? And if you're talking about a technology where you're talking about video transfer speeds up to 6 units, a spread of 6 gigabits a second across it, which is double what anything else is handling at the moment, are we kind of naive to think that there isn't some tech that needs to go into the cabling as well as the transport device? Because it's no longer just copper.
Naive, I don't know if I like that term or not. I mean, it's a cable. We've always seen cables as consumers. And we're looking, you know, I don't think most consumers don't care. Oh, it's got a chip in it. Great. Most don't care. It's a cable that we need for Thunderbolt, and it's got a $50 price tag on it. I mean, to an extent, Will's kind of correct about that it's overpriced, and we'll see it come down. It's new technology. It's there. I mean, the great thing about Thunderbolt right now that I've read this week is you can boot from an external drive with it, which is kind of nice.
And you always could.
Exactly. You always could, but I don't know.
It was crap.
Exactly. So I hope that, you know, it's something that it's worth spending $50 on. But consumers don't see it that way. Most, if you're talking about the regular iPhone user, the regular iPad user, they're sitting there going, God, that's a $50 cable. I'm going to wait for that thing to come down.
There's a comment from Mark in the chat room saying, remember the cost of SCSI cables 15 years ago? And that's like a good news and a bad news thing. A, the good news is they're going to come down. B, it's going to be 15 years. I mean, Don, you're the Mr. Video here, and you are going to have quite a bit, I presume, that's going to be enabled with Thunderbolt eventually.
Eventually. I haven't yet. I mean, for an example, this week I've been doing some work with Final Cut Pro, and I've been recording some screencasts in Hint. No, we won't go too far down that road. But basically, I've been using my MacBook Air, and I've had for Origin Slip.
Do you want to start again?
Final Cut Pro 10 running on my MacBook Air, and it runs like a dream. It's great. It's really, really good. But I had to just connect an old USB drive to, you know, the single or the dual USB port that I've got on my MacBook Air, and I could really see, especially when the new MacBook Airs come out with the faster chips and the Thunderbolt, that it would be a perfect little video recording suite. You know, you'd have no performance issues. You've got a really fast processor, and then you've got the throughput of the video. You know, high definition, even 4K video can come across that Thunderbolt link, and you've got this nice dinky little laptop with a really fast RAID array connected by a Thunderbolt, and you're away with the mixer, really.
But my question's going to be, Don, are you going to be buying this cable because you're an Apple fanboy and you've got no choice, it's in your programming, and being happy about it, or are you going to buy this cable begrudgingly at $50?
No, it's not. I mean, I completely understand Will's point, and there must be a technical reason why they couldn't. I mean, basically, you've got a piece of metal, and you've got two ends of the cable with chips at each end. Why they couldn't have actually put those chips into the devices? Why it has to be in the cable, I don't know. But I presume there is some sort of technical reason for them to do that. But saying that, you know, if you're going to invest in a Thunderbolt array and in Thunderbolt equipment, you're going to have to buy that cable. So, yes, I would buy it begrudgingly, but because I still think it's slightly expensive for what it is, even with... apparently, there are 12 chips in the cable and lots of other smaller components as well. But, you know, it's something you're going to have to actually make the damn thing work. So you're over a barrel, really. Not a lot you can do about it.
12 points of failure.
Even more.
It strikes me, it's a bit of a, because it should have been Lightpeak and it should have been over fiber, shouldn't it?
And it should have been 10 gigabits a second.
Well, that's it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not doom and gloom guy because I've invested a lot of money in this new technology. But I do question it a little bit. So we've sort of got this halfway house that they couldn't quite, well, they couldn't make the fibre work for some reason. So they've gone for this rather kludgy mix of chips and the cable and stuff. It's inelegant, isn't it? It's inelegant, it's expensive, and it gives you multiple points of failure. Doomed!
No.
Chat room says you're doomed. I mean, there is a certain element of the fact that we're all a bunch of fanboys, and as soon as Thunderbolt came out, we all went ooh and ah and wow and 6 gigabits a second of transfer. No one's been able to use it for the last 4 months while the iMacs have been out anyway.
I mean, I saw an interesting Twitter. John Honeyball, who is one of the tech writers over, I think he's on PC World or PC Pro. I've followed him for years as sort of on the leading edge of tech stuff. He used to buy all the latest and greatest stuff for years and years. And he sent a tweet out when they announced that, or when it was discovered that these new RAID arrays, you can actually boost from a RAID array over Thunderbolt. And basically his strategy now is he's not going to buy an SSD drive for his next iMac. He's basically just going to buy a Thunderbolt array and it should boot from that. It'll be as fast as an SSD drive on his iMac.
Theoretically.
Mm. No, have you seen the performance? There's already been some performance. Now that they've actually got the cable.
Got them, yeah.
And they've got the RAID. They were doing some testing. I haven't got the link, unfortunately, but I think they were finding it was like between 9 and 11 times faster than FireWire.
Well, that's good.
Mm.
Very good. It's not real money anyway, says Mark in the chat room. $30.
Have we seen the price on the UK? Is it out in the UK yet?
I haven't seen it as yet. I'll have a quick look now. But I think the thing to remember as well with American pricing is that what you're seeing is the price less tax. So there's no value-added tax on that for sales tax on it. Now, once you add in 20% UK VAT to it, and then you talk about shipping and exporting or import costs for customs and excise, you could be looking at £50 for this, and that's when I think...
£39.
It's 39. That's a good price.
£39. Well,
I'd buy it then.
That includes VAT as well, doesn't it?
What's all the crap over? I don't understand.
A bargain.
£39, I'll have two. Stuff it.
I looked at it, and because I want to use one of my 15-inch iMacs as an external monitor when I'm not doing training. Sort of makes sense. But then you say £39, £40 for a cable... Well, you can buy an external monitor for like 100, can't you? And, you know, it's just mad, isn't it?
Well, it won't work anyway, though, unless your external monitor's got Thunderbolt, which it hasn't.
It has? Oh, well, see what you mean. No, well, I mean, I can buy a whole monitor for £100 or maybe less these days.
Okay, so that's the point then. Sorry, mate, I just...
What? That was the point.
Yeah, that is the point. I mean, what you're talking about here is you're talking about buying a cable for doing mass data transfer and using it for taking it from one computer to another computer's screen. Well, you only need a mini display port for that. As long as both are enabled for the Thunderbolt port style port on them, a mini display port cable will do the external transfer from one iMac to the other.
What I'm saying is if you want to use... So you've got a Thunderbolt MacBook Pro and you've got a Thunderbolt-enabled iMac and you just want to use that that Thunderbolt iMac as an external display.
Yeah.
And you buy a cable for £40.
No.
You think, well, I might as well just buy another monitor.
No, you don't need to. You can just use a mini display port cable.
Can you?
Yeah, as long as both are in... I'm going to be standing corrected here and I'm sure the chat room's going to jump in a minute. But as far as I understand it, as long as both devices have the Thunderbolt port on them, a standard mini display port cable will do the job. Your problem comes when you've got an old iMac which has got a mini display port but that's not Thunderbolt and you try and send a signal from a Thunderbolt-enabled laptop to an iMac that's old mini display port. That's when it won't work.
Ah, so I can go get a mini display port cable.
Am
I right there, Don?
Yeah, I think so. You only need that special cable if you're doing data transfers to Thunderbolt devices. But I think mini display ports and mini display ports should work. They're about, you can get them for about £12 for a meter length.
Besides, Mark in the chat room said it best. Stop your complaining. We'll all end up buying one.
It's true. That's true. But no, I think just for the listenership, you don't need, as long as you've got the new Thunderbolt port on your computer, you can transfer low data quantity through a standard mini display port cable. But if you've got an old computer with a mini display port on it, you can't transfer anything.
But the mini display port cable in Apple Store is £25 itself, so there's only a slight difference.
Don, you just said £12, didn't you? Or £14 for a
cables to go. You can get a meter one. I'll pop them in the. That's a long link. There we go. That's in the chat room.
That's a huge link.
It is a huge link.
Don, will you read it out to people who are
www. Don.
Oh, actually, that's a Google product search. That's given you a whole load of different ones.
Jane says she's going to buy one even if she hasn't got anything to connect it to. That's my girl. Just make it into a necklace, girl. You just tie it together with a little black thing in the corner there and you can have a white necklace. Perfect for a Friday night.
I'm surprised they didn't put it on the homepage of the Apple Web Store when you go to it, and just a glamour shot of the cable and a magical and fantastic new cable.
A glamour shot of a cable.
Well, they do that, don't they? I mean, they have like all the, you know, when the mouse came out, it was like the magic mouse and the glorious trackpad and all the shots. I think for £50, you want to be looking at this fantastic shot of the cable. When it doesn't need to be called a cable. It needs to be called something else. It's gone beyond cable, hasn't it, really?
It's an accessory.
Look at the connectors on that. Oh.
I mean, cable is
tell you what, I can plug that. Oh.
You're just insulting it.
Well, when you put it like that, Ewan, it's definitely worth $50.
Oh.
Sounds like he spent his money worth, doesn't it?
No, I tell you what, I felt that way this morning about the dentist doll. Did you see that one? Dental robot.
Oh, God.
The dental robot, yeah, that was. It's a plastic robot that it's like critical, simulator type thing, where they put the dentist in front of this robot, and the robot can do absolute shed loads. It can respond to commands, but there's a guy driving it in a little booth off to one side, and so when you say head back mouth open, it goes head back mouth open, but it's made out of plastic, unfortunately, and when it opens its mouth, it looks like something else. But there we go.
Cool. and apparently Mac Minis are in short supply as well.
And apparently what?
And apparently Mac Minis are in short supply as well.
Yeah, getting back to what we're supposed to be here for.
Yeah, not about blow-up dolls.
Mac Minis are in short supply. I read white MacBooks are in short supply this morning. So you're saying Minis are as well?
Yeah, Minis are as well.
Why is that then? We're getting a refresh.
Yeah, you know, do you think, I don't know, I wouldn't be surprised if the MacBook just vanishes.
Mm.
Just stops dead.
Yeah.
The white MacBook becomes a ghost.
Oh yeah, and when it comes around, they say, "Here's the new Mini," and you've got the. I mean, with the price and the shipping containers full of airs that Apple are selling, I think perhaps it wouldn't surprise me if the Mac Mini just vanished.
No, I mean, if they're going to refresh the MacBook. The Mini line, are they doing the Mini line the same as they're probably going to do the Air line as well at the end of the month, because they're going to put all of the Thunderbolt stuff on it? But is that like hanging earrings on a pig? I mean, because the Mac Mini's just not up to it, is it? I mean, it's...
Yeah, but it's going to be Core i5, isn't it? And they're not going to stick with Core 2 Duo. It's going to be...
You talk about me being random. We've gone from an erotic dentist doll to hanging earrings on a pig.
Yeah, no, I said it was like earrings on a pig. Well, calm down. I don't get excited, mate. There's no pigs with earrings on here.
Isn't there?
No, mate, there isn't. What I'm saying is... If you're talking, I mean, you really think that the Mac Mini is going to go to a Core i5?
Yes, it's definitely. And it's going to get Thunderbolt, Core i5. Price is going to go up again so that it's even more insanely overpriced than it is now.
And 1 gig graphics card.
4 gigs of RAM, and the MacBook will go.
Well, let's say they push it up by a ton. That puts it to $699 for the base model, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or is it $799 for the base model?
$612 for the base model at the minute.
Yeah, so you're talking £700 for the base model at that point. And for $200, you get an iMac with equivalent spec. I just don't see that. I do see it because it's Apple. I don't see the logic in it.
Well, it's $612 at the moment, the Mac Mini. So it's going to be looking at $749, I would say.
Oh! This is a computer that was at $399 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's sensible or in any way defensible, because it's not. But it's what they're going to do. I reckon it's what they'll do. It'll be, you know, a reasonable computer, just massively overpriced.
I mean, Apple missing a trick by getting rid of the kind of affordability of the Mac Mini. Because it was always the... my first computer was a Mac Mini for Mac. You know, it was a G4.
Mine too. Same here.
It was the drug test, wasn't it? You know, it was, I'll just buy this and see what it's like. Because, you know, 400 quid, it's not the end of the world. And you plug it in, stick it on an extra monitor, you go, wow, I love Apple. And before it, you know, 3 months in, you're going to sell everything you've got and move over to Apple in a heartbeat. Just because you've got this little...
I think the thing is now, though, Ewan, is that they've got the iPhone and they've got the iPad to do that now, so they don't really need a low-price desktop computer to actually push people across to the Mac or to Apple, because they don't need that. They've got low-cost devices, iOS devices, that can push people across to the Mac. I mean, and obviously the profits on, you know, and the uptake of the Mac isn't really been affected by it. I mean, I think they do. It is too expensive. They do need to either keep the price and up the specs considerably, or bring the price down, which they're never going to do. But I don't think they have a real need now. When the Mac Mini first came out, you know, that was the way into the Mac environment. There was no iPhone, there was no iPad. The iPods were completely different from the Mac operating system, you know, because they were these special dedicated devices. But now that you've got iOS, I think that's their strategy now to get people into the desktop Mac is through those devices. So they don't need really to worry too much about having a low cost desktop computer. I think the more interesting thing, though, is if the white MacBook does go, because I think it will go. I think they'll just bring in an equivalent MacBook Air and be done with it. And then, you know, the entry laptop then is the MacBook Air.
Yeah, because I think that Dom's right. I don't think the Mini is the gateway Mac at all anymore. But what it is, perhaps, is the gateway server, because obviously the Mac Pro is also monumentally overspecced and there's no X server anymore. And Leopard's coming out, and, you know, Lion server is going to be 49 quid, whatever it is, for Lion server. And Apple are going to be able to push the Mac Mini and say to small businesses that just need the one device, it's a cheap server. It comes with Leopard server on it. It's going to be 900 quid. It's a pretty cheap server for a small business. Even if you're a big size business and you're going to cut it, you want to put four or five of them in, on the rate, or it's still not going to be as expensive as the X server was. So I guess the Mac Mini's destiny is to just become the server.
Andrew, the bloke in the next office is downloading a movie on your Wi-Fi, it would seem.
Is it?
Yeah, you've turned into...
No. He's just using a G4 right now, using dial-up.
I'd like to correct the rumour that I'm doing this on a PC.
Will, have you got a soft spot for the Mini, or, you know, are you sad to see the price go stupid on it? Or,
well, it's sort of losing its identity, isn't it? I mean, it was the cheap access point for people who are new to Macintosh, want to give it a go, and now it's become sort of one of their mid-price products, hasn't it? It's lost its identity or its original function, which was to introduce new users into the Apple universe.
But I mean, if you look at Apple, they're 60% of the netbook market, or the 60% of the business's netbook market. So what Don's saying there is people aren't buying Mac Minis to get into Apple anymore. They're buying white MacBooks, or they're buying MacBook Air now.
Right.
Is that valid? Would people go away from desktop? Because, I mean, if you look at the white top brigade, my mother would definitely not have a MacBook Air to enter the Mac market. She would go for a Mac Mini, or even iMac.
I think most people are going towards laptops, aren't they? They're cheaper, they're more convenient. As far as it's a funny crossover, isn't it? Because when the MacBook Air was released, it was quite a high-priced executive sort of wafer-thin laptop. Shut your face.
$2,000, good as.
Yeah, I know. And so now it's, what is it, £700-800, the entry-level one?
Yeah.
Well, if you just look on the Apple website at the moment, the MacBook is sat there at 867, and next to it is the MacBook Air at 67, and I'll tell you which one I'd rather have.
I mean, there's Macs on here, 2 gigahertz Core G2 Duo Max, the old versions, and there's one that got 5 hours left here, and it's already at £310. The chances are that'll actually probably sell for greater than its original sale value. People still want them.
The Mac, well, that's bizarre, isn't it, the way that Macs hold on to their resale value, but it's good and bad, I suppose.
I think to an extent, I still feel they need a market presence. I think the market's changed. I think Don's right. I think there are certain people out there that says, well, I've got an iPad, I've got an iPhone, I'm in the Apple universe now, and I'm quite happy. But then there's people like us. And if you listen to all of us right now, we all started there. We got a Mac Mini. That's what got us into the Apple world. But we're different. We're slightly different people. We're more the techie, the more geeky, and we wanted to see what this whole Apple thing was about. That's why I think the Mac Mini will definitely stay around. But they're at a point now with people like us that we're so Apple drunk that whatever question. You make great stuff, man.
Question for a couple of comments in the chat room. Russ is saying that the white MacBook Air was a turd. So that's his point of view over. Jane's saying, if the MacBook Air goes, what are you going to give school kids? If the MacBook goes, what are you going to give school kids? And Matt Bitts is saying in the chat room, is the issue that Apple is pushing the products more in the creative market and there's a need for a higher spec, therefore all of the hardware's got to catch up? I mean, that's a good point, is that the software and hardware are inextricably linked because it's Apple. If you start pushing high-end software, you've got to expand your base market, otherwise you're wasting your time entirely. I mean, the current Mac Mini I've got isn't going to cope with Final Cut Pro particularly well, I wouldn't have thought, or certainly an old one won't.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people bought Mac Minis as well for the as media centres, you know, the great media centres, the silent, nice looking. They've even got an HDMI port on the back now. But I think that the Apple TV has sort of overtaken, unless you're a hardened sort of a media center fanatic who really wants to play all sorts of stuff on the TV. I mean, I had a Mac Mini specifically for that, and I've since retired that Mac Mini, and I just use the Apple TV now, and I'm more than happy to see everything on my Apple TV. So I think that's one niche area where, you know, I think a lot of people bought it for media centers, but even that now has sort of pulled back because people are now starting to put Apple TVs in instead.
Retired the Mac Mini, does that mean you took it out the back and shot it?
No, it's on my desk. It's just sitting there. It's I'm thinking what to do with it now.
Do you want to sell it or donate it to the Skywall? Because I'm one short, mate.
I've got plans for it, to be honest. I've got plans.
But I mean, that's a good point. I mean, because when I wanted to put more Mac Minis on the Skywall here, the first thing I did was go out and buy three Apple TVs, and then the three Mac Minis that were littered around the house acting as media presenters became useful again. You know, it was the best 99 quid I ever spent getting the Apple TVs, because that's all they were doing. That's all those Mac Minis were ever doing, was the equivalent of what the Apple TV does now. Is everyone frozen?
Oh, we just can't understand you anymore.
Yeah, I just can't understand you.
I do talk crap an awful lot. But
no, it's probably the last 30 seconds were completely unintelligible, so
Sorry, are we talking about physically what I was saying or just the audio quality there?
Because just the audio.
All right, thanks.
Just the audio.
So when you go out, and when you're out in the real world, sort of, and drinking the overpriced filth that is Starbucks or Costa Coffee,
yeah,
and people are sat around and they're on there. Obviously, they're on their laptops and it's mostly Macs. What do you see people sat out and about using? I mean, everything I see out and about is silver coloured. Everything.
Right. So it's a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, or an Air.
Or an Air.
Or an iPad. It's not a MacBook. I don't think the last time I saw a MacBook in the wild must have been months ago.
Ah, but it's a student Mac. I mean, yeah. the MacBook is a student device and it's a kid's device. You know, Ellis says he wants to go online. Ellis has got access to a black MacBook that's, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And I'm quite happy to him to have that. And if he said he wanted a computer for school, I'd love to buy him something at $499 to $599 to $699 that he could take. I really don't want to be buying a MacBook Air 11-inch at £1,000. Thank you, no. He's going to get a Toshiba at $250. Or an MSI.
Hackintosh.
An MSI Wind Hackintosh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a good point, actually. You know, the Air is still pretty pricey. So
it's a really... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Is there really a laptop called the Wind?
The Wind, yeah, the MSI Wind. It blows.
Well, it does.
It certainly does.
It was fine. Don gave it me or sent it, sold it me, and it worked just fine. Thank you very much. And the Dell 9 Mini is a gorgeous Hackintosh. And now there's drivers for all of the stuff on it, so you can use it.
Has Don provided you any sort of proof of purchase on his end?
No, it was caveat emptor, mate, and it didn't look like it had come off the back of a lorry, although it is Liverpool.
It was only a week old. Used it for a week and that was it.
Don had it for a week and thought, stuff this.
Yeah.
It was too hot.
Sell it to Union. I'll sell it to Union. Here, he'll take it.
Oh, I'll buy it. Lisa. What else should we talk about? Because we've done the cable, we've done the death of the MacBook Mini, and they're going to get... let's just finish that off then. So are we saying we're going to get an i5 Mac Mini at come the end of the month with Lion on it and a Thunderbolt processor and a 1 gig graphics card? Because I don't see that.
I don't see the 1 gig graphics card, but apart from that, it sounds about right.
I don't know about the timing, though, because I think the MacBook, and I have to sort of take back, eat some humble pie, because I think last time I was on the show, or it might have been the week before, I said I couldn't see them holding back on the MacBook Air if it was ready. Because there were rumors at the time that the MacBook Air was ready for shipping, but they were going to wait until Lion came out, and I thought they wouldn't do that. If it was ready, they would actually just launch it without Lion being ready. But it looks as though now I think that they probably will launch both at the same time. Not to say that they've been sitting on them, because I don't think they would do that, but it looks as though I think they will launch the MacBook Air and the online at the same time now, probably in the next couple of weeks.
You'd have sat on it if you were talking about having to send out a DVD or get a customer to call back into the Apple store, but all you've got to give them is a coupon code now. And,
yeah.
And so I agree with you. I don't think there's any need to, if they have sat on it, I find that really quite old world in a electronic distribution market. Definitely.
Yeah, but we will never know.
We'll never know. Will, have you got anything that you want to talk about again this week that we talked about last week but you didn't listen?
I can't remember us talking about old Ron Johnson.
Well, let's talk about Ron Johnson. The retail magnate bloke from Apple has gone to Microsoft, hasn't he?
I met him, you know.
No, JCPenney.
JCPenney, that was it. Sorry, not Microsoft.
Yeah.
Which is Primark in the UK, apparently.
Well, they own tons of stuff, don't they? It's a big group again. So what about it? You know, is he going to turn JCPenney into a wonderful shopping experience?
Well, I didn't think it was too bad as it is, really. I mean, it's just a cheap clothes store. I mean, what can you do? Maybe exactly. He's going to have maybe he's going to take across the Genius Bar and the Creative Bar into the clothes market.
He's the George of the American market. He's going to do what he did for Asda, Walmart.
The chat room are revolting.
I know. I'm not surprised. What do you want to talk about? You sit and give me grief everywhere.
Nostalgic.
Go on, then get nostalgic. Bring it down.
10 years ago, what? We got the iPhone. We got the Apple Cube, which isn't around anymore, but was still one of the best computers they ever made as far as looks goes. But we got the iPhone.
4 years ago.
4 years. 4 years ago. Yeah, the Cube was 10 years ago.
Cube was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get my facts straight.
There we go. So, did you buy a Cube? Did anyone buy a Cube?
No, I never did. No, I bought a Matt McGinney.
I didn't buy a Cube.
Nope.
No.
No. But it was a beautiful computer.
Because
it was different. It was neat. I think it was the turning point for Apple at that time that says, look, we're about design. They started doing something different. I mean, the iMacs were the colorful thingy, and this thing just looked executive class. Like, it's the reason why nobody bought it is probably because they were scared to look at the price, but they were just, it was a work of art. I really like, always loved the look of that computer. That's the computer I always said, I'm going to get that one of these days, and never did.
The chat room doesn't want to talk about the MacBook, the Mac Cube. He wants to talk about Andrew's enlarged plastic nuts. Dude, that's the kind of stuff you should keep to yourself. You don't tweet that out. He's gone quiet. Are you not going to talk now?
What on earth are you going on about? What have I tweeted?
The chat room wants to talk about your enlarged plastic nuts.
I haven't got any enlarged plastic nuts.
Well, apparently they stopped you from changing your wheel yesterday.
A spanner wouldn't fit.
Those enlarged plastic nuts.
Oh,
yes,
we're on it. Yeah, the same page.
Engorged they was. I tell you what, you do feel. I was sat by the side of the road with the car, and the man came out. The AA man came out, and he looked at the enlarged plastic nuts, and he went, "That's a wheel cover, mate." And you just feel like. You sat there and this man, you were like a man and he's a man and he's changing your will. And you just like, you just feel like a bit of a cock, really.
Oh, there's a bit of editing then. Thank you.
Oh, there goes the rugby.
Someone's driving past and you want to like stop every car in the building. I didn't know that they were wheel covers. I can do this. And then off you go. Next one. Stop. Don't think I can't change this car tire.
So he says to you, Dr. Happy Mac, what do you do? And you go, I fix computer. And he goes, yeah, right.
Oh dear, it's really, it's like one of those things. I mean, the things you should be able to do is change it.
You can just see him stood there saying, you can't take the cover off your wheel and you expect me to let you take the cover off my Mac.
Yeah, tell you what, not to change the subject because it's not embarrassing, but the Mac, the Cube, it's like you can play James Bond with it, because you've got like a, when you want to take the insides out to get at the RAM or anything, it's got like a pull-out lever that slides out, and then it's like an atomic bomb on James Bond where you have to lift the core out without touching the sides, and it's great. You can kind of do the James Bond theme in your head as you're doing it. And there you go.
That's why it was so expensive. There was plutonium inside the damn thing.
Yeah, it's just great. It's just kind of a ka-chung. You know, on every science fiction film, they always have a lever that pulls out and rotates through 90 degrees and gets stuck. And then and it's exactly like that. It's brilliant. It's like whoever designed it had obviously watched every science fiction film going.
Well, I've got to say, now I can firmly attest to the fact that the most interesting part of this show was when the frigging audio wasn't working at the start.
Why are people? I suppose
Because the point is, every week we come on and I pick stories for us to talk about. And after the show, I go, why didn't you say anything? You'll go, well, that's a crap story. So I thought, right, stuff it. You guys can pick the stories. And I say, what do you want to talk about? You'll go,
I got a story.
Go, finally. Go on, Greeny Boy. Let's have it.
10.6.8 update out last week, I think.
That's right.
Adds trim support.
Mm-hmm.
Fill
do you know
us
what
in.
That is?
Okay.
You've got me, mate.
Do tell.
You see? So going back to the Mac MacBook Air thing, when they were originally released, they came out with solid-state drives. And solid-state drives are a bit tricky when it comes to sort of deleting and that sort of, they work in a different way, don't they? And so that you can run into problems when you, for instance, delete a file off your MacBook Air, the space is still taken up, even though it doesn't exist. And there's a few workarounds. But up until this point, it's been a bit, OS X has struggled a little bit with SSD-based hard drives, where TRIM, T-R-I-M, is basically a workaround or is a fix for that problem. And 10.6.8 brings trim support, as well will Lion. So we're seeing, so users have installed, well, mainly for third-party SSDs into their machines. When they install the new update, it'll work. When deleting files and formatting and that sort of stuff, it'll work a lot more efficiently.
I might be imagining this, but there was a forum post on the Apple website a while ago that there was a guy saying that his boot time on his SSD had gone from sort of 10, 11 seconds as normal to like 2 minutes. It was almost like it was booting like a standard drive. And there was someone putting some code in there. I'll try and see if I can find it. Alex Fox sent it to me. And it was talking about how to improve your boot speed time and so on with some terminal code. And basically, it was to do, I think, something along the lines of TRIM, where it was the way that the thing looks to store data and looks to retrieve data. And it was causing this thing, it got worse and worse and worse, but the terminal code actually sorted it out, and it was going back to starting in sort of 8 to 10 seconds, as opposed to 2 minutes. I'll see if I can find that. Alex,
interesting to see if they extend the TRIM support to other SSDs other than Apple's own stuff, though, because I think at the minute it's just their own SSD drives that they support.
According to this article, that's what this TRIM update's all about, is for third-party SSD drives that have been installed.
Oh, right, so it's not just for the Apple ones?
No, it's not. Maybe I didn't do the story properly. The existing SSD drives that come with a Mac, they work okay, but if you put a third-party one in, it had problems, and this is what this TRIM support sorts out.
Have you got any computers that it's helped you with then?
No, I've never gone down that route because it's so expensive, isn't it, to put an SSD drive in your computer. Although I do understand now with the new MacBook Pros, they allow you to swap them out quite easily, don't they? Or do they?
Yeah, I used to have an SSD, and in fact, I have an SSD drive in the MacBook Pro, which actually my lad uses now. It's one that I've handed down to my lad, but I actually got another one for my Mac Pro, and I'm now on my third actual drive because two of them have failed on me, so this is the third one now. So it's sitting in its box. The replacement only arrived a couple of days ago, and so I haven't got around to putting it into the Mac Pro, but I'll certainly give that a test once once I get a minute and slap that in the Mac Pro. But they do make a hell of a difference. They really do make the machines fly.
Well, I remember, that's flash though, Don. I mean, your hand me down is a MacBook Pro with an SSD drive. Bloody hell.
I never thought of it that way.
Can I be your son, please?
Yeah. Oh, dear. And he doesn't appreciate it. You know, it's terrible.
Dad!
You should have given him that crappy netbook that you sold Ewan. Don't it?
He's my son, you know.
That had a flash drive in it. Andrew, we stood and watched Mark Sunner start up Photoshop on his iMac, didn't we, with an SSD in it? And that was like a second.
It was less than a second.
Ridiculously fast.
Yes.
I mean, I've always been a bit laissez-faire about SSDs, but when I saw, because I start Photoshop regularly, and it's the standard bouncing thing for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden you get the Adobe credit thing comes up, and then finally you'll get to your image. And this thing was he double-clicked it, and bang, it was ready to go, ready to open a document. It was instant. It was superb. And that's the only thing that's ever made me think about buying an SSD. But Jane in the chat room is confirming that the SSD support was for third-party stuff because her SSD on her iMac had trim support in 10.6.7. There we go. Anything else?
What about refunds?
Refunds, yes. Final Cut Pro refunds. So if you complain about Final Cut
I thought you were talking about this show.
If we charge for it, you would be getting one, absolutely. We might not put one out this week. So if you bought Final Cut Pro at £179 and you disliked it intensely and complained vehemently enough, apparently, allegedly, Apple were giving out refunds this week for it. Was it that bad?
Yeah, I think the thing is, it's just unworkable for some people. That's the issue. Not that they, I mean, they mightn't have liked it, but the thing is, with some people, that they can't actually use it because it doesn't have all the bits they need to do their job properly. So, and because you could do a trial, you know, you couldn't get a trial of it first. So, I think it's only reasonable that if people can't use the damn thing and they need it for their job and they already have Final Cut Pro 7, that they should actually be entitled to get a refund on it. So, it's not unsurprising, really. I don't think.
I mean, Kevin, the chat room, saying as well that Adobe have jumped on the back of it and said if you jump from Final Cut Pro to Avid, they'll give you 50% off.
Well, they need to now. I mean, strike while the iron's hot. There's so much bad feeling that I'm sure they'll get lots of people taking them up on that offer. But it just seems a bit early in the day for people to jump ship, you know, because they don't have to go ahead and use Final Cut Pro 10 now. They can wait for another 6 months in most cases, 12 months to see what Apple actually do with it.
Just shows that Adobe already overprices their stuff by doing that.
Remember back in the day when you could have a Mac, you could take a Mac home for a trial. It's gone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Really?
Yeah, look, it's a long time ago now. It was, you could probably, I'd bet it's about 7 or 8 years ago, you could take a Mac and take it home
bloody
for
hell?
A trial. Yeah. It was like back in the day when the Mac was sort of really down in the doldrums. You could take one home, give it a go. If you liked it, you could buy it, and if you didn't, you bring it back.
Very good. That would work now, wouldn't it?
You sort of can anyway. You can't, it's like 14 days, and you know, just say this is rubbish. I want my money back. So you can sort of do it. I think it was a Scully innovation.
Well, if you buy a Mac now, you stick it on eBay, you'll get more than the value for it probably, and then you can go back, take the difference back, and pay for it. There you go. Yeah. Problem solved. Have we got any cool things? Because I'm aware that Will's got to go in 10 minutes. So,
certainly have.
Don, start us off, mate, please.
Go on then. I'm going to change my choice because something has just been released within the last few minutes that someone in the chat room has just pointed out. Alt Games, Super Duper 2.6.3 is now available for automatic upgrade or for purchase. And the good thing with it is that it's now Lion compatible. Now, if you're not aware of Super Duper, it's a really good backup utility that enables you to do a full bootable backup of your system drive. And it just so happens that this the Screencast Online show this week is all about getting ready for the Mac, so that ties in quite nicely, because I do suggest in that show that you use Super Duper to back up your system drive before you even think about putting Lion onto your primary machine. So now Super Duper 2.6.3 is now Lion compatible. I know a lot of people, when Snow Leopard came out, they actually didn't upgrade to Snow Leopard for about 3 months, because Super Duper wasn't ready for Snow Leopard. So this is really good that they've actually got it out before Lion comes out. So most people now, you know, they've got an excuse to go ahead and upgrade the machine because they can back up using SuperDuper. And if there's a problem, they can restore using this version as well from Lion.
Excellent.
So it's actually, it, there's two versions. You can download it and use it to clone your drive for free. I know there's also, is it Carbon Copy Clone, which is another free utility. But SuperDuper, if you use it in its sort of free mode, you can back up a complete drive. If you pay for it, and it's not that expensive, I think it's about $20 or something. You can then do incremental backups. You can use it as part of your backup strategy to do intelligent incremental backups and still create bootable backups as well. It's indispensable.
How would you rate that in terms of ChronoSync? Because I use ChronoSync a lot.
ChronoSync really is, I use ChronoSync as well, but I tend to use ChronoSync for synchronizing specific directories or folders to another place. SuperDuper I use as a whole machine backup.
Right, okay.
So that's how I actually sort of differentiate between them.
The thing about ChronoSync is it's good for setting stuff up for like major backups of complete directories at 3 o'clock on a Monday morning.
Yes, it's got a great schedule built in. Again, SuperDuper does have a schedule built in, but again, I tend only to use it for doing sort of a complete image of my drive. The nice thing is you can do a complete bootable image of your drive on an external disk, and then you can just do you can schedule it to do an incremental backup. And what it does, it looks at the previous backup, it looks at your current system drive, and it only copies over the changes. So it's really fast. It doesn't have to copy every piece of data over again. So that's really nice.
Good. Excellent stuff. Great pick, mate. And just in time, you can save the other one for next week. Have you got one for us, Carl?
I do. Actually, this is something it keeps coming up on the show about how much we hate iCal and all of this. And, you know, hopefully that'll change or not. But this week, I broke down and I bought Blotter. And essentially what it is, it's a beautiful looking, looks like it was designed by Apple, calendar for your desktop. It can just stay there. You can kind of make it out of the way, but yet you can go right back to it when you need to. I've really found it quite convenient this week until I spent $10 and Google Plus came along. But other than that, it's actually a really, really nice piece of software. You can find it in the App Store. It is, like I said, it's not really cheap. It is $10. But I really like it. It merges with iCal. But it's just a lot more, I don't know, I just find it a lot easier to use. Mm. And it's just always there, but it can also be out of the way too. It's pretty. If $10 is good enough for you and you like something pretty on your desktop, then I feel it works pretty well.
Excellent. Good pick. Will, have you got anything for us?
I got two things.
Good man.
Okay. Number one, I won't tell you what it is yet. Okay.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the object?
No, it's good.
Is this going to take longer than Planetary?
No, it won't. Think of a character, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional.
Okay.
You got it? One. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he an adult male?
Yes.
Is he American?
No.
Is your character still alive?
No.
Has your character governed his country?
No.
Is he English?
Yes.
Has your character really existed?
Yes.
Is your character a musician?
No.
Has your character lived in the 20th century?
No.
Is your character a writer?
Yes.
Is your character a playwright?
No.
Does your character mainly write fiction?
Yes.
Does your character write poetry?
No.
Is your character referred to with a honorific title like Mr., Mrs., Master, or Doctor?
No.
Is your character female?
No.
Is your character known by science fiction fans?
No. Can I just interrupt before?
It's Charles Dickens.
It bloody is!
Have that, Rankin. Have that.
Just when I thought this was utter crap.
Thank you very much.
Chat room saying it was painful. So, go on then, what's the pick, mate? It's one of those little tiny cubes that you get down at Woolworths for £4, no?
It's a really good application. It's about £1.20, and it's called Akinator. A-K-I-N-A-T-O-R. Akinator.
Akinator.
It's brilliant. It's almost supernatural in its accuracy.
It's just 20 questions. It's like the 4 quid things you get from Woolworths.
Well, it got you, didn't it?
Well, eventually. I grant you that it got me just prior to me nodding off.
Yeah, well, all right then.
Right, but what's the second one then, mate? Are you going up or down in quality?
Well, the second one, slightly different. But you were impressed, though, weren't you?
No. Moving on.
Bloody were.
Ellis has got one of those little ball things that does that. But.
The second one is Plex. P-L-E-X.
Plex app.
Yes. And it's... So there's two components, I suppose, to it. There's the Plex server, and there is the Plex player. And the player can be on your Mac, it can be on your iOS device, iPhone or iPad. The actual Plex for OS X is free. For the iPad and the iPhone is, I think, it's a couple of quid. It's not a huge amount. And so if you're looking for a media player, the media player that comes with the Mac Front Row is a bit limited and it's a bit crappy. So imagine you've ripped off a load of DVDs and you know you've got all these sort of mixed movies. What Plex does, it scans your library, goes to the internet, downloads all the cover art, description of the film or whatever, or TV show, and it works really, really well. And it is a proper media player for your Mac. It also does music as well and online content. Like BBC iPlayer and all that sort of stuff. So if you're looking for a great media player, Plex is the way to go, say I.
There's a comment in the chat room, is Will in 2008?
Why is that? What have I done wrong?
I'll defend Will. I love Plex. Plex is awesome.
It's true, it's not exactly current, is it? I mean, haven't they got AirPlay support now? Isn't that the thing that it's no?
Honestly, I won't say. I'm not 100% sure.
I've got something in my head that the reason that you would pick Plex now at the moment, even though it's quite an old application, is the fact that it's got AirPlay support. But I could be wrong with that. Most definitely, yeah.
It'd be great if it did.
I think it has. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's just a recollection. It's not me saying I know that. It's a great pick, regardless of which century you live in, mate. No question.
Well, I'd never heard of it before today.
Don,
it was totally new to me.
Don,
it works really well.
Did you have a screencast on it?
I did, and did indeed, yes. So
yes, you did.
Just go back in the catalogue, Will. You'll find a screencast about it so you can...
2008.
Yeah. Is it 2008?
It wasn't that long ago. No, it's not 2008. It wasn't that long ago.
I sent him an email because I was thinking, I'd like to review this for the podcast. So I sent him an email saying, do you offer NFR copies for review purposes?
Well, we used to.
And I thought, oh, Christ, thing's free.
It's free, yes, you idiot. I asked them for a copy and they sent me one free. Wow, they must really like me.
But it works so well. It's so slick, isn't it?
There's comments in the chat room. It's no longer got parchment support. Mikitsky says, does Will know that Ron Johnson's left? And Rackmitt is saying next week Will's gonna pick electricity.
Balls! Balls, I say. I had two great picks there. Two great picks. They were brilliant.
Andy, are you going to pick the wheel for us?
No. Don't do wheels. Shut up. Didn't happen.
Oh, boy.
Oh, have you got anything, mate?
Yes. Okay, well, this is a little app. It's a tiny little app. And what it does is it solves the... perennial problem that when you're connecting all your external devices together, sometimes if you don't get the SCSI ID number correct, then the chain won't work. So there's this little app called SCSI Probe, which you can launch, and it shows you the ID of every SCSI app on your chain. So you can go back to all the devices, and most of them have like a little counter, which you can press manually, like a speedometer in a car, to go up and down from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you can make sure that every device on your SCSI chain has a separate and distinct SCSI number. And there's little app, which I think works with system 8, will show you the ID of every device in your SCSI chain.
Don's lost it a little bit.
Also, there's this other one. There's a gotta tell you about this one. Anyway, iStat menus is really nice.
Go on, which is a little menu bar thing, isn't it, that gives you...
It's by a company called Bjango, something like Bjango. And there's lots of these apps that will tell you the temperature of the computer.
I just figured out you were taking a piss out of me then, weren't you?
4, 3, 2, 1...
Oh, Will, we love you so much.
I was quite interested. I thought, well, that's useful.
It wasn't the SCSI bit that gave it away.
Well, I was just now thinking, this sounds good. Clever stuff.
I thought it was serious to begin with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, mate. Have you actually got anything sensible or not?
Yeah, iStat menus. It's really good.
All right, okay.
It's the best of all of those little jobbies.
It really, truly is. I've got it, and it's brilliant.
It's really nice, and you've got it's all monitored via a control, but it should really be an application, but it's all stuck into the system preferences, and it's got so many things that you can switch on and off and what you want it to monitor at what interval and things, and it all sits up there, and it looks really nice, unlike some of the other ones, which just spray enormous text and things all over your desktop and stuff. It's been made designed to look really nice and it's great, and it's only $16.
$16. It's quite a bit actually, because didn't they used to do it free?
Yeah, and then it started. You have to be really careful because my version was, I got it when it was free, and every time I restart the Mac, it pops up and says, "Do you want to buy? Do you want to update your copy of iStat?" And when
so
you do
can
that,
get £16 off you.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I think it's probably worth £16. But SCSI Probe is free. It comes with every Mac.
My pick was going to be Cheetah, but being as Andy's done his bit, then I'll have to pick something sensible. I've picked SketchMe. It's an application from the Mac App Store. It's £4.99 or $7.99. And basically, you stick your photo in it and you can run a program on it and you can get... sketching-like applications, watercolory types, effects across your photos. Now, I usually hate these things. I loathe them to bits because they really rip your image to pieces. But if you've got a plugin into Photoshop, like Knockout or something like that, some of the background stuff that you can do can be really useful. So make an extra layer in Photoshop Elements or something like that. Dump that out as a separate image. Run the background image away from your subject image separately through SketchMe, and then import it back into Photoshop. And you can really knock out some really nice toned down backgrounds that look like hand sketching. And also, if you're doing things like icons or logos, these things are great for taking stuff and making them look like you made them yourself. There you go, $4.99, and it's not stick cricket.
I'm not saying another word because I upset you last week, didn't I?
No, at least stick cricket's only a year old.
I never heard of Plex. I mean, it's great.
It makes me feel better. I've just discovered Super Duper, my pick, was introduced in 2004. So there you go, Will.
Yeah, but at least you're at the latest version.
Thank you, Dan. It's, yeah, anyway, doesn't matter. Just before we move on.
Yeah.
So I've got my, so you're saying I can stream from my Mac to my Apple TV. Is that right?
Yeah, it's called AirPlay. You can do
Yeah, but right from Plex, though.
I think. I don't know. I'll have a look now. If someone could have a look for me, does Plex do support?
I'm not sure. I haven't used it for a while.
Well, plexapp.com, go and look it for yourself, because I can't be bothered now. CyberPaul saying that stick cricket's brilliant, so shove that up your pipe and smoke it, Will.
It is a good application. I just got tired after the third time you used it as a pick. That was all I'm saying.
Thank you. Gary S. is supporting me, saying, yes, Plex does AirPlay from iPad to the Apple TV. There you go.
Oh, right, okay.
My recollection was true.
How bizarre is that? So basically, I'll have my MacBook Pro, right?
Yeah.
And that'll be the server. That will then send the video to my iPad. And then my iPad will then send the video to my Apple TV, and then that will be connected to my TV.
Doesn't that sound overly complicated when you can
just stream direct? It does, doesn't it? Doomed for failure, it was.
Why process it through? What you're talking about is if you've got media stored on your iPad, then you can stream it to Apple TV.
Oh, it's not as good, though. Is that, I mean, the whole idea of having a media server is it's a big capacity device, isn't it?
I guess. You know those red boxes that have popped up the end of the street? You can put paper in there now, and it comes out at someone's address. It's incredible.
Well, I just heard out at someone's address. What was it before?
Forget it. It doesn't matter. Wait till you listen to the back of the show. Where can we get a... Oh, no, hang on. We need to do some other stuff. Elmug, we've got the London Mac User Group is running an event with us on the 18th where we're going to discuss Lion. Will be there and Will's going to discuss Panther. there's going to be Don McAllister's going to be there with me, and I'm going to be there, and Steve Neighbor's going to be there, and a whole few other people who are developers and stuff are going to be there on the panel, and we're going to be discussing the Lion that's due out allegedly next Wednesday. Someone has said it's out next Wednesday, which we were getting worried that it was going to be out on the 26th or something like that after the event, but someone is honestly saying that next Wednesday Lion will be available, so we shall have to see. 18th of July, it's at the Wood Marylebone Pub in Northwest One in London. Come along. I think the shenanigans start in earnest about 8 o'clock, but the bar will be open from 6, so and you can help set up some of the audio equipment, please. That would be really useful. And also, the Wirecast competition was won by a fabulous bloke, Chris, who's at KimTok on Twitter. He's using it for his local church group. I thought we were going to get some more witty answers, but actually got was genuine pleas and grovelling letters. So we'll have to think of a different competition for this month. I haven't really thought of one yet, but we could do something witty and entertaining rather than begging letters, please. There will be another one this month, so if you just want to write a begging letter anyway, I'll see what I can do for you. The last word, of course, goes to UK2.net, our sponsors. They keep us alive and well, and they're sponsoring a competition in the next couple of months as well. I'll be giving some details out probably next week after I've finished talking to the lad. But they are our main support and lifeblood. We're consuming data at a massive rate, thanks to Will's appearance on the photo show last week, displaying his knowledge on photography and use of plate photography over negative photography. The current technology. We've had a few more downloads than that than we should have done. So we've used up too much data, and UK2 help us out every month by just picking up the charge. And when we write to them and say, sorry, we've used a bit more than we should, they just go, that's okay, that's the deal. Your support of them would really help us. So if you go to our webpage, bageltechnews.com, and then scroll down to the bottom, that's going to change soon as well as, but go down to the bottom and look at the logo on the left-hand side, powered by UK2.net. Click on that, and they'll know that we sent you. So if you go to there, if you just want to log into your account, please use our webpage first and the click-through, and then they'll know that we sent you originally. And the best bit of all is if when you buy something, a domain name, e-commerce, location, co-location services, a VPS server, anything like that, when you get to the checkout, type in BagelTech, all one word, into your coupon code, and you'll get 15% off. So please support us by supporting them. If you want to buy stuff, that's fine, but just whatever you're doing right this second, please stop, go and click the link, and they'll know that we pushed you towards them. It's up to them to sell their service, not us. We just sell the link, so please use it. Next to that, you've got Don McAllister, Screencast Online HD. Don is a fantastic supporter of us, and he's a fantastic supporter of you as well, because he's going to give you 50% off your first 3 months membership. So again, use the click through on our homepage and use the offer code BagelTech, and you get 50% off your first 3 months. Thank you ever so much to everyone that supports us. We would be utterly and totally lost without you. Last run around, Don, where can we get hold of you?
Find me over at screencastonline.com or on Twitter as Don McAllister.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy. Have a good holiday, pal.
I won't be here next week. I'll be sunning myself on a beach somewhere.
We'll be toasting you. Fingers at crossed. The bash next
okay.
week.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to miss that. That's a shame. But
I'll be going.
You do.
There'll be another one next year. And we'll be together on the 18th, so don't worry.
Yeah, true.
Where can we get a hold of you, Carl?
Actually, you can find me at the website now. I've kind of redesigned it. It's at kyleswagger.com.
You kept that quiet.
Yeah, I've been kind of working on it over the last month and finally launched a little bit of it this week. There's not much over there still yet, but it's links and it's linking to some of you guys and this kind of stuff. Oh. It will improve as the days go by.
Good on you, mate. Andrew, where can we get you?
Well, if next week is the same as this week, you can get me sat in front of my brand new server in the office trying to get it to sync my iCals through Mobile Me. 4 days I've been sat in front of this machine.
Oh dear.
Bad 4 days!
Can you officially get rid of the microphone? Because the headset mic that you've got on at the moment, the Apple thing, is perfect.
Is it perfect?
It's absolutely dandy. And I've got to say, Kyle, you came on the other week just on Skype on 3G on the iPhone 4, and it was crystal clear.
Okay, cool. Audio. Here it goes. In the bin.
Good lad. And last but by no means least, Mr. Will Green, our British Mac man. Where can we get hold of you?
BritishMac.com. Sorry for my screaming child during your...
No, mate, don't worry about it. That's screaming children is the least of the screw-ups on this show. try half an hour of crackly audio on a panel show where no one can hear what anyone else is saying.
Well, I've been quite enjoying it, really, because it's... when people listen back to this, they won't experience what we've all gone through. That you're talking, it's great. And then that slight crackle begins, and we think, oh, God. And then it's about 3 minutes, and it becomes... We can't hear what you're saying. And then bang, it's back again. Strange.
What you're saying is that you're quite happy because it means that you haven't had to listen to all of this show, which I think is probably going to be the ethic of some of the people that have tuned in. Thank you. We'll be back again with the photo show in about 20 minutes. Then we'll be back with Bagel Tech Mac next week. The Daily Show will be here Monday, Wednesday and Friday next week. And then the Bash is on Friday. So tune in live or send me an email to bageltechnews@gmail.com. I'll give you the directions to the Bash. And you can turn up here and there'll be beer and barbecue and steak and sausage and big burgers and everything you can possibly want. And there might be some green stuff as well, some salad or something, not just dead animal. See you next week. Thanks for listening. Thanks, everyone. That show was like a crippled man trying to buy two beers on crutches.
How do you think we felt?
Honestly, you literally just couldn't understand what you're saying for about 30 seconds at a time when it went really bad, and then suddenly, like, you've just come back on again now.
The chat room's full of bullshit. They're all saying good show. The best yet. I don't know.